إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة
وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Could you put the volume a bit down, please? اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah Almighty and Glory, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam, with the greeting of the people of paradise, by saying to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I also bring with me the salams of your brothers and sisters in Islam from Australia, in which many of them gave me this amana and trust to pass on their greetings to you in the UK. So on the behalf of your Muslim brothers and sisters there, I'll say to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I am very happy, very honored, privileged and delighted to stand here before you, to see my brothers in Islam, my sisters in Islam. Gives me an honor to be part of you, to be part of this deen. We all call for one call, which is Islam, worship one Lord, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow one book, and that's the Quran al-Kareem, and follow the beloved man to Allah Azza wa Jal, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in many of my lectures, I do start with this point for us to realize the importance of this deen and the value of this religion. I always get this impression when people look at me as a Muslim coming from Australia, they see that very strange. And always I intend to get the question is, how is the Muslim community in Australia? And do you have many Muslims in Australia? And subhanAllah, it's exactly vice versa when someone comes to Australia from the UK. We are amazed to see Muslims in the UK. So the Muslims see each other strange, in which one person comes from one part of the world. And subhanAllah, it always comes to my mind the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, Bada al-Islamu ghariban wa sayaudu ghariban kama bada fatuba lil-ghuraba alladhina yuslihuna ma afsada an-nas. The Islam had started strange. Islam had started strange. And Islam will restart strange the way it first started. So, tuba lil ghuraba, glad tidings and the good news and the paradise for the strangers, that are those who fix and correct the corruption of people. And subhanAllah, you look at me strange, I'll look at you strange, and we'll probably look at other people who come from different part of the world strange. And this is the whole idea of this religion at this moment, is to be looked at as being strange. And subhanAllah, glory be to Allah Almighty, coming from one side, a one part of the world, from the bottom of self, all the way here to UK, in the highest of north, it also brings upon my attention the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, سَيَبْلُغُ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ. that this matter referring to this religion, Islam, your Prophet Muhammad, 14 centuries ago, when there was no such thing called UK or Australia, or maybe existed but no one knew about it or knew about them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that this religion will reach everywhere the way day and night reached everywhere. فَصَلَّ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Indeed what you said had happened, and it happened 14 centuries after you. In which now, coming from Australia to the UK, from the bottom of south to the highest of north, from the last of east to the end of the west, Islam had reached everywhere the way day and night had reached everywhere. Who thought that one day the word of Allahu Akbar will be raised in any of those countries? But by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the promising of his beloved father Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this had happened and took place, and more to come by the will of Allah azza wa jal. As his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that there will be no house made out of clay or made out of any material, no house that's made out of bricks or made from any other material would not hear of Islam. Everyone will hear of Islam, as our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned. My brothers and sisters, this is for us to understand how precious this deen, this religion, how valuable Islam is to us. Islam is not just an ordinary thing that we put on our agenda in the bottom or the last item of our agenda. But Islam is the most important thing that we have in life. Because of Islam we live. Because of Islam we live. And because of Islam we'll die. And because of Islam will resurrect. And being youngsters, especially at this time and era, living in the West, and living in a time and era in which the wave of corruption is so strong, the wave of the corruption is so strong and powerful that it's so easy for anyone to be sucked into that wave. And it's our duty as Muslims to fight this wave and to be strong on the path of Allah, to be firm on the path of Allah, to be strong on the deen of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Grab strong, tight, fast onto the rope of Allah. And the rope of Allah is no doubt Islam, the deen of Allah, the word of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Grab strong and fast onto the rope of Allah and stand firmly, strongly as united, and do not split apart. Do not divide. With your division is your weakness, and with your weakness is the strength of your enemy. Be strong and be firm. My brothers and sisters, as teenagers, as Muslims, growing at this time and era in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, يَصِيرُ الْحَلِيمُ فِيهِ حَيْرَانِ, that the most wisest man will be so confused. And he also says, will come a time, الْقَابِدُ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَقَابِدٍ عَلَى جَمْرَةٍ مِّن نَارِ, the one that's grabbing on his religion is like grabbing on a coal of fire. Maybe we feel this, maybe we experience that. But my job and your job as a Muslim is to constantly remember Allah Azza wa Jal and to turn to Him. And never turn away from Allah Almighty. Always be with Allah Azza wa Jal. Always be with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And remember being with Allah Almighty. If you have Allah on your side, you have everything. And if you don't have Allah on your side, you have nothing. I'll give you the advice that your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Abdullah ibn Abbas, in which one day Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will grab Abdullah ibn Abbas when he was a young man, maybe like the age of many of us now. He'll grab him and he'll tell him, Ya ghulam, O young man, inni mu'allimuka kalimat, I will be teaching you words. Maybe the number of those words are very little, but the meaning from behind those words are so great. Ya ghulam, inni mu'allimuka kalimat, O young man, I will be teaching you words. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts off by saying, Ya ghulam, ihfad Allah yahfadk. O young man, protect Allah, Allah will protect you. Protect Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. Remember Allah, Allah will remember you. Remember Allah in this dunya, Allah will remember you in this dunya and the hereafter. Protect Allah. احفظ الله يحفظك. Allah will protect you. Maybe someone might ask, how can I protect Allah when all the protection comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, almighty and glory? Well, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah indeed does not need anyone's protection. And Allah is the only one that gives all the protection. But protecting Allah is by protecting the religion of Allah. Protecting Allah is by implementing Allah's orders. Protecting Allah is by following Allah's commands. And in return, by you protecting Allah's orders, Allah has promised you that He'll protect you in return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you in return. Allah will secure you in return. Allah will take care of you in return. Allah will be with you in return. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Protect Allah, you'll find Allah wherever you are. You protect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will protect you wherever you are. He does not only protect you in UK. He does not only protect you in Pakistan. He does not only protect you in Mecca, but Allah will protect you wherever you are. Allah will be with you. Allah will protect you. Allah will secure you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Protect Allah by following His orders, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. Be with Allah, Allah will be with you. Stand by Allah, and Allah will stand by you. Remember Allah, and Allah will remember you. Protect Allah, you find Allah wherever you are. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you do ask anyone, ask no one but Allah. He is the only one. He is the only one that can protect you and support you and help you subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعَنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you want to rely on anyone, rely on no one but Allah Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to ask anyone, ask no one but Allah. And if you want to rely on anyone, rely on no one but Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the advice that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given Abdullah ibn Abbas. And then he'll say to him, وَعْلَمْ لَوْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. وَعْلَمْ لَوْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. And remember, O young man, and this advice, no doubt, is not only to Abdullah ibn Abbas, but it is the whole nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will say to him, and remember, young man, remember, if this whole world gets together to benefit you, no one can unless Allah wants. And if this whole world gets together to harm you, no one can unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah will remember you and protect Allah. Allah will protect you. Remember Allah wherever you are. And Allah Azza wa Jal remember you wherever you are. There's a story of this great companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by the name of Ibn Mu'laq. And this took place after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. To give you the example of those who remember Allah, Allah is with them. And those who protect Allah's orders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them. Ibn Mu'laq will always travel between the Arabian Peninsula and the Bilad al-Sham, Syria. He always travels for the sake of business and trading. And one day on his business trip, a high robber will stop Ibn Mu'laq demanding for his money and to kill him. So Ibn Mu'laq will say, just take my money and leave me alone. What my death will do to you? What benefit would you get out of killing me? So the high robber will insist, that thief will insist that he'll take the money of Ibn Mu'laq and he'll kill him. So Ibn Mu'laq said, if you do insist, then give me the opportunity to pray to my Lord the last prayers of my life. And Ibn Mu'laq will pray to Allah Azza wa Jal four rak'at. And asking Allah Azza wa Jal at the end of the four rak'at, supplicating and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and resorting to the one and the only one that can help him and protect him, Allah Almighty. Saying, Ya Wadud, Ya Dhal Arsh Al-Majid, Ya Fa'alu Lima Turid. O Allah, You are the greatest. O Allah, You are the greatest. O Allah, You are the Lord of the great throne. O Allah, I ask You by Your greatness. I ask You by Your great light. I ask You by Your strength. Ya Mughith, Aghithni. O Allah, You are the supporter and the protector. Protect me from this thief. And we'll make this dua three times saying, Ya Allah, You are the supporter and the protector, protect me from this thief. You are the supporter and the protector, protect me from this thief. And after Ibn Mu'laq finishes his salah, he'll turn around and he'll see the high robber dead on the ground. And beside him, a gigantic brave warrior standing next to him. Ibn Mu'laq was amazed. He says, who are you that Allah has supported me with? Who are you that Allah had helped me with? This gigantic brave warrior will respond back saying, I am an angel from the fourth heaven sent by Allah to protect you. I am an angel from the fourth heaven sent by Allah to protect you. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the first time, Oh Allah, You are the protector, protect me from this thief. This angel said to Ibn Mu'laq, I heard the gates of the heavens shaking. And when you said the second time, asking for Allah's support, Oh Allah, You are the supporter and the protector, protect me from this thief. I heard the angel speaking loud, screaming loud, saying, Ya Allah, there is a servant of Yours in need of Your help and protection. And when you asked Allah the third time, Ya Allah, You are the supporter and protector, protect me from this thief. I called upon Allah and said, Ya Allah, let me and give me the permission to go down and help him. Protect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find Allah Azza wa Jal wherever you are. Who protected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was in the cave of Thawr, surrounded by the non-believers to kill him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We all know the story when alayhi salatu wa salam was in the cave of Thawr, running away from the non-believers to migrate from Mecca to his new hometown Medina. And at that moment, while Abu Bakr and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam are in the cave of Thawr, in Ghar Thawr, the non-believers will come outnumbering the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam and his companion. At that moment, one of the non-believers will look ahead to the cave in the peak of that mountain and will say, maybe Muhammad and his companion are hiding in that cave. And then they'll start climbing the cave to check if Muhammad is there or not. At that moment, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu will see the non-believers from far climbing the mountains. So he'll get scared for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he'll say to the Messenger of Allah or Prophet of Allah, if one of them looks down to his feet, he will see us surrounded. There's the cave behind them. and the enemy at the front of him. Oh, messenger of Allah, all they need is one of them just to look into that cave and they'll see us. So the messenger of Allah wanted to teach Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu a great lesson that will stay to the day of judgment for all the followers of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to learn. He told them, Ya Abu Bakr, Ma dhannuka bithnaini, Allahu thalithuhuma, Ya Abu Bakr, La tahzan, Inna Allah ma'ana. Oh Abu Bakr, Oh Abu Bakr, what are you scared for? What are you terrified for? Did you forget for whose cause are we here? We are here for Allah's sake. Oh Abu Bakr, what do you think of two? Me and you. Allah is the third one of them. Ya Abu Bakr, la tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. Oh Abu Bakr, don't be scared. Don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Allah Almighty is with us. My brothers and sisters, إِذَا كُنْتَ مَعَ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ سَيَكُونُ عَلَيْكَ وَإِذَا كُنْتَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَمَنْ سَيَكُونُ مَعَكَ. One of the great saying of the scholars in which they say, if you are with Allah, who would turn against you? And if you are against Allah, who would be with you? So protect Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah will protect you. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will remember you. Be with Allah. Allah will be with you. Always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And don't be deceived that you could be alone and you go and commit the corruption and the haram thinking no one could see you. And Allah Almighty, the Lord of this universe, is seeing you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of this universe, is watching you. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your Lord, Allah Almighty, He says in the Hadith al-Qudsi, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu al-zulma ala nafsi, wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharraman, fala tazalamu. Oh my servants, I had forbidden oppression on myself, and I forbid you to oppress one another, so do not oppress one another. يا عبادي كلكم ضال إلا من هديته فاستهدوني أهديكم. Oh my servants, all of you are astray except those who I give guidance to, so ask guidance from me, I will guide you. You are all misguided except those who Allah Azza wa Jal guide, so ask Allah for His guidance, and no one will guide you except the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يا عبادي كلكم جائعا إلا من أطعمته فاستطعموني أطعمكم. Oh my servants, all of you are hungry except those who I give food to, so ask food from me. All of you are thirsty except those who ask water from Allah Azza wa Jal, so ask Allah for His food and water subhanahu wa ta'ala. يا عبادي كلكم عار إلا من كسوته فاستكسوني أكسكم. Oh my servants, all of you are naked, you don't have clothes to cover yourself, and I am the only one that could provide you with clothing, so ask clothing from me, I'll clothe you. This is Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala calling upon us to realize and understand that we are all in the need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all need Allah Azza wa Jal. We all need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all need to resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all need Allah's mercy. Ya ibadi, innakum tukhti'una billayli wal nahari wa ana aghfiru dhunuba jami'a fastaghfiruni aghfir lakum. Oh my servants, oh my servants, you commit the sins during the day and night, and I forgive all the sins, so ask forgiveness from me, I will forgive you. Who will forgive you, my brothers and sisters? Who will forgive you when you commit that sin, and then that sin is recorded on you, and then you die with that sin, and then you are punished with that sin? Who will forgive you? Who will wipe that sin away from you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So ask for His forgiveness, who will forgive you. يا عبادي إنكم لن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني ولن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني. Oh my servants, none of you will reach the stage where they could benefit me, and none of you will reach the stage will harm me. Allah does not benefit from our ibadah, from the good that we do. Know that Allah Azza wa Jal is harmed from the bad that we do. That good, my brothers and sisters, will only come back to you. And that bad will only come back to you. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, Ya ibadi law anna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا ولو كانوا على أفجر قلب رجل واحد منكم لما نقص ذلك من ملكي شيئا. Listen and hear to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, to prove His greatness, to prove His strength, His powers, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Oh my servants, if every single one of you, every single human being and jinn, they were all righteous, they were all good people and good jinn, this would not even increase from my wealth. And if every single one of you were bad and wicked, this would not even reduce from my wealth. And then Allah says, Oh my servants, if every single human being and every single jinn get together at one place and they'll ask me for something, I will give every single one of them what they ask for. This would not even reduce from the wealth, not even a drop from the sea or ocean. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah azza wa jal, the one that we neglect and forget and disobey Almighty. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, glory be to Him. Glory be to Him, He says, Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum uhsiha lakum, thumma uwaffiyakum iyaha, faman wajada khayran falyahmidillah, waman wajada ghayra dhalik, fala yalumanna illa nafsa. Oh my servants, it's only your deeds, it's only your actions that I will gain for you. And whoever finds good, then she'll thank no one but Allah Azza wa Jal for the one that gave you the ability to do that good. And whoever finds anything beside that, then blame no one but yourself. It's you, the one that disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I know the topic is about sex, drugs, alcohol, and what's better in life. But this is something for us to understand, that there is nothing better in life except worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing better in life except following the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is nothing better in life than obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let's not be deceived from what we see in this dunya. We see sex, we see drugs, we see alcohol, we see a law of corruption. And we think our success and happiness is through that. But we thought wrong. Your success, your happiness is only through following the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your success, your happiness in this dunya and the hereafter is by following the orders of Allah azza wa jal. Why do people resort to such things? Why do people resort to sex? Why do people resort to drugs? Why do people resort to alcohol? And why do people resort to a law of corruption? You know why, my brothers and sisters? Because there is one main concept and goal in the mind of every human being. There is a main goal in the mind of every human being. One main objective that all human beings are fighting over. And that's happiness. Happiness is a goal, an objective that every human being is fighting for. Rich or poor, sad or weak, strong or weak, Muslim or non-Muslim, every human being seeks behind happiness. They wake up every morning from their all different backgrounds, different nationalities, different ideologies, different way of thinking, different statuses, different levels, different educations. They all wake up every morning aiming for one thing: I want to be happy. And that's why the rich man thinks that his happiness through collecting money. He'll put his whole life to be the slave of the dollar. Others will think that their success is through politics, so they'll become the slave of politics. And others will think their happiness is through alcohol, so they'll become the slaves of alcohol. And others, they think their happiness through drugs, so they become the slaves of drugs. And others, they think that their happiness through sex, through the different ways of sex, acceptable, unacceptable, normal, abnormal, so they become the slaves of sex. But the reality is, and the truth is, that happiness only comes from Allah Almighty. Happiness will only come from Allah, the Lord of happiness. And let people fight, and let people seek, and let people strive, and let people sacrifice, and let people do. Happiness will only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You realize something, my brothers and sisters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives wealth and health and gives life to those who Allah loves and those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love. Allah Azza wa Jal gives health and wealth and love and gives a lot of things to the Muslims and the non-Muslims and the Iberian and the disiberian Muslims. But there's one thing that Allah Azza wa Jal does not give to anyone, and that's happiness. There is one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant to anyone, and that's happiness. Because Allah Azza wa Jal had restricted that happiness to only those who make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased from them. Allah Azza wa Jal had restricted happiness to only those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. And that's why you find those who please Allah Azza wa Jal, you find them pleased in this dunya. And that's why you find those who have the wealth, and those who have the health, and those who have the strength, and those who have the respect in this dunya, they have absolutely no happiness when they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will reach to a time and era that you find the most wealthiest people, the most respected or strongest people, they try everything. They try everything seeking happiness. And then they start resorting to the abnormality of things. They start resorting to things that's not acceptable or was not acceptable in society. So they start resorting to sex, start resorting to drugs, and then they start with a minor drug, then they get into the strong drug and higher drug, and then the worst drug, and they start trying different alcohols. Why? Because they tried so many things in life and they did not taste happiness. So they start getting out of the abnormality of human being and start trying other things for the sake of happiness. And try and try and try and try. And then you find many of them, the only resort to them is to jump from a peak of a mountain, or to jump from above a tree, from above a bridge, or to go and commit suicide. A lot of them will start committing suicide. That now you find a high percentage of people who commit suicide. And subhanAllah, when you look at their background, you find them very wealthy people, very rich people, very respected people. But subhanAllah, they did not taste happiness. My brothers and sisters, happiness only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, Wal asri, innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bilhaq wa tawasaw bilsabr. Allah Almighty, He makes a promise by the time, and He says, innal insana lafi khusr, that all mankind are losers. All mankind are losers. Those who are strong or weak or poor or rich, they are all losers except those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do the righteous deed, and call for which is truth, and call for patience. Yes, you turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you disobey Allah azza wa jal, then you become a loser in this dunya, and you become a loser in the hereafter. You become a loser in this dunya, and you become a loser in the hereafter. You do not make the most of what Allah has created you for, and you miss out, and you'll do everything except what Allah Azza wa Jal had created you for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have created the jinn and the ins, the human being, for the sake of my worship. We are here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal created us for His worship. Those who fear Allah, Allah will make them most out of this worship. And those who don't fear Allah azza wa jal, they'll be used by this dunya, abused by this world, and then they lose the hereafter. They'll be used by this dunya, abused by this dunya, and then they'll lose the hereafter. For that, my brothers and sisters, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, take advantage of five before five. Take advantage of five before you lose five. Take advantage of five, make the most of five before five. take advantage. Take advantage of a youth day. Take advantage of young days before you get old. Take advantage of this energy that Allah Azza wa Jal had given you before you get old and you miss out on it. Take advantage, as what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, take advantage of your health before you're sick and ill. Take advantage of your wealth before you are poor. And take advantage of your time before you are occupied. And take advantage of your life before your death. This is the advice of your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take advantage of them and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being young, especially experiencing the new life of being an adult, shaitan wakes our heart to suck us into the corruption and the haram. Shaitan makes us deceived that wallahi it's your opportunity now to commit and fall into and do what you've been missing out when we're young. Shaitan works so hard. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he describes those in a young age, those who are teenagers, those who are shabab, that use their teenagehood, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes them as being one of those who Allah will shade under his shade where there's no shade except his shade. Why? Because it's the age where shaitan works so hard to attract those youngsters to the haram, to the corruption. Come and commit this and come and commit that. Come and fall into this and come and fall into that. And his main objective is to keep you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The main goal of the shaitan is to keep you away from the pleasure of Allah. The main goal of the shaitan is to keep away from the paradise. The main goal of the shaitan is to keep you away for what makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased from you. This is the main goal of the shaitan. For that, my brothers and sisters, I advise you to be firm and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, Allah azza wa jal is always watching you. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-ihsanu an ta'buda Allah ka'annaka tarah fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yaraak. The ihsan is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as if you could see Him. And if you can't see Him, which that's the reality and fact, then Allah Azza wa Jal can see you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you. Worship Allah Azza wa Jal as if you could see Him. And if you can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remember Allah. Remember Allah Azza wa Jal is always watching you. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching you. And Allah Azza wa Jal is always recording your actions on you. For the actions to be an evidence against you in the hereafter. Don't think that you are alone one day and you could commit the haram when no one is around. Because you are embarrassed from those people to look at you. Remember what Allah said. فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. Is Allah Azza wa Jal the one that has more rights for you to fear Him and be embarrassed from Him? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that has more rights for you to fear Him and be embarrassed from Him. There was a story of an Arabian man who fell in love with this Arabian woman. And he chased this woman one night. He wanted from her the haram. And while she was going out at night for the call of the necessity or nature, he'll follow her. And then he'll grab her and say, now it's the best moment. Now it's the best moment to commit the haram. So she said, then go and make sure that everyone is asleep in the tent. So he'll go and check. And then he'll come back and say, it's the best moment. Everyone is asleep in the tent. So she'll tell him and say, go and check if Allah Azza wa Jal is asleep. Go and check if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asleep. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself, that no sleep or tiredness will take place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is above that. If you are afraid and embarrassed from people, then you should be afraid and embarrassed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're always embarrassed from to do anything wrong in front of our parents. We have this love and respect for our parents. They would never ever do something haram or disrespectful in front of them. Then we should also fear Allah Azza wa Jal and be embarrassed of Allah Almighty to do anything haram or disrespectful in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man will come to Ibrahim al-Adham, a great scholar, and he'll say to him, O Shaykh, O Imam, I have a problem in falling into the haram. I have a problem in falling into the corruption. Give me an advice. So Ibrahim al-Adham will say, I'll give you four main advice. When you want to fall into the haram, do not eat from the food of Allah. And don't drink from the water of Allah. So this young man was amazed. How can I not, when all the food and water belongs to Allah? He said, how could you? How could you and dare you eat from the food of Allah and drink from His water, and in return for Him, you go and disobey Him? And he told him, when you want to commit the haram, when you want to fall into corruption, do not live on the land of Allah. So this young man was amazed. He said, then where do I go when everything and everywhere belongs to Allah? He said, how could you, how dare you disobey Allah and in return live on His land? And then he told him, when you want to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla and fall into the haram, do not commit the haram where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you. He said, then where do I go when Allah Azza wa Jalla can see everyone and everything? Then he said, how could you commit the haram? How could you commit the haram knowing that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you? And then he told him, when you want to commit the haram and the angel of death will come to take your soul to the hellfire, take your soul and cast you in the punishment of the hellfire, say to the angel, I'm not coming to you. He said, this is impossible. This is impossible. So the Imam responded back to him and he said, then how could you commit and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How could you commit the sins and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Also, he was asked, this Imam, Ibrahim al-Adham, once he was asked by a group of people and they said, why do we make dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept our dua? He said, because of 10 major things. He said, because of 10 major things. Number one thing is, you know Allah Azza wa Jal, and you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you do not give Allah's rights. You do not give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His rights. You do not obey Allah Azza wa Jal. You do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know who Allah is, and you don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing is, you know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest creation of Allah Almighty. And he is the great example, but you do not follow him. You rather follow someone beside him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number three thing is, you read the Quran and you know this is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you did not follow it. And number four thing is, you ate from Allah's bounties. You ate from Allah's rizq and you did not thank Him. And number four thing is, you knew that shaitan is your enemy and you did not turn against him. On the contrary, you followed him. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوًا فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. That shaitan is your enemy. Take him as an enemy. You don't take him as a companion. And number six thing is, you know that the hellfire is true. And you know that Allah Azza wa Jal will punish those who disobey Him in the hellfire. But you did not do anything to run away from it. You did not do anything to save yourself from it. And you knew that the paradise is true. And you know Allah Azza wa Jal had promised those who obey Him a great paradise, in which He says, I had prepared for my servants, where no eyes had seen, no ears had heard of, and no mind or heart could even think of. And you did not prepare anything for the paradise. And you bury your dead. You bury your dead. And you know the next day that you'll be buried. And you did not do anything to prepare for that day. And every morning that comes to you, you speak about people's faults and you forget your faults. These are 10 things that Ibrahim al-Adham mentioned. Why? When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not accept our dua. My brothers and sisters, I advise you always and constantly to monitor yourself and judge yourself and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Now that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching you and recording everything on you. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should be feared, as Allah Almighty says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. All those who believe, fear Allah the way He should be feared, and do not die unless you're in a state of Islam. Judge yourself, my brothers and sisters. Make yourself accountable. Before you go to sleep, judge yourself. Look into the good that you've done and motivate yourself to do more. And look at the bad that you've did and make sure that you do not do it again. Make sure that you stop disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar says, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا وَزِنُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنَ لَكُمْ. Umar says, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, judge yourself. Judge yourself before you are judged. Judge yourself in this dunya before Allah judge you. A severe judgment. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges you, a hard and a tough judgment. Judge yourself. Judge yourself before you are judged. And what your deeds? What your deeds? Look at the good that you've done and look at the bad you've done before it's weighed on you. In this dunya, you could do, and you could do a lot of a'mal and actions. But there's no judgment in this dunya. In the hereafter, it's only judgment and no longer any opportunity for any deeds or actions. So judge yourself. And also, my brothers and sisters, I give you this advice to constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and repent to Him. As our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, istaghfiru Allah wa tubu ilayh, fawalladhi nafsi biyadih, inni la astaghfiru Allah wa atubu ilayhi fil yawmi akthar min mi'ati marra, aw akthar min sab'ina marra. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, O people, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His forgiveness and repent to Him by Allah which most saw in His hands. I ask Allah in a day for His forgiveness and I repent to Him in a day more than 100 times. And this is the messenger of Allah, in which Allah Azza wa Jal had forgave His sins, the past and the recent and the future. He is the one that Allah guaranteed paradise, and He is the one that is to repent to Allah in a day more than 100 times. So constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and make repentance. Every night when you judge yourself, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. I also advise you, my brothers and sisters, especially being young and especially being students or university students, I ask you and I advise you to choose your friends. Choose your friends. Have the righteous friendship. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. Do not make a friendship only with those who believe. And do not let anyone eat your food, only those who fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Make your friendship as a righteous friendship. Choose those friends who fear Allah Azza wa Jal and will get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Choose those friends that you think they'll benefit you in this dunya and the hereafter. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he describes. And he says, the example of the good friendship and the bad friendship, the example of the righteous friendship and the wicked friendship is the example of a perfume seller and a welder. The Sahaba alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, the welder, if you stand next to him, even though that you don't touch him, but a bit of the sparks of that metal that he's welding, or a bit of that smell, bad smell, will come onto you. This is the example of a bad friendship. And the example of a good friendship is like that perfume seller in which you stand beside them even though that you don't touch them, but you walk out of that shop smelling good and having nice fragrance. This is the example of a good friendship. The good friendship, you always get that good influence from them. And the bad friendship, you always get that bad influence from them. So choose your friends. Choose your friends and surround yourself with those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you forget Allah, they will remind you. If you forget Allah Azza wa Jal, they will remind you, and if they forget Allah, you will remind them. If you fall down, they'll pull you up, and if they fall down, you pull them up. If you're in need of help, they stand by you, and if they're in need of help, you stand by them. So choose your friend. Also, my friends, also my brothers and sisters in Islam, constantly seek knowledge. Look for the gatherings of knowledge, those gatherings in which the angels fight for. The angels fight for and get together. Look for those gatherings that you benefit yourself and benefit you hereafter. Benefit your akhirah. Benefit that moment that you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek knowledge. Look for gatherings of knowledge. Seek knowledge and look for gatherings in which you could benefit yourself and increase your knowledge. And also, my brothers and sisters, I also advise you about a very important thing. Recite the Qur'an al-Kareem. Recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then make that book just a book on a shelf. But this book and the words of those books, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That if we had to reveal the words in that book on a mountain, and look how powerful and stable the mountain are, this mountain will humble and shake from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This mountain will humble and shake from those words of Allah Almighty. So that Quran, that book is not just kept on a shelf like the rest of the books, but this Quran is to be kept in your heart. I advise you, as being also a university student, to read even if it's one page of the Quran al-Kareem a day. Read even one page of the Qur'an al-Kareem a day. You don't have to every time you open the Qur'an you need to read one juzu or half a juzu, but at least have that constant, continuous relationship with the Qur'an al-Kareem in which you read even one page. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, you will find big difference between a day that you read even one page of the Qur'an al-Kareem and a day that you don't read anything of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And I also advise my brothers and sisters to involve yourself in the da'wah. Involve yourself into calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be from the army of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Continue where your beloved Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam left behind. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. And alayhi salatu wa sallam had left behind. He left behind a great responsibility. When sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Abu Bakr would stand up on the minbar and say, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat, wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut." He gathered the companions at that moment, and all the companions are in state of sadness and grief. And he tells them, to remind them that it's not only about Muhammad, but it's the deen of Muhammad. And he says, whoever used to worship Allah, whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad had passed away. And whoever used to worship Allah, Allah lives and never dies. If Muhammad departed this dunya, if Muhammad had passed away, will the deen of Muhammad will stay alive? If Muhammad had passed away, well, the Lord of Muhammad is always alive. If Muhammad had passed away, well, the responsibility of Muhammad is still alive. And this responsibility was passed on to his companions, and then passed on to the one after them, and then the one after them, until it came to us. Until it came to us. And we are those who are responsible for this responsibility. So involve yourself. Engage yourself and involve yourself in such a responsibility. And take on this responsibility. This responsibility that Allah, He says, إِنَّ عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Allah speaks about this responsibility and amana, trust, in which He says, we had offered this trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains. To the heavens and the earth and the mountains. And look how vast the heavens are. And look how strong the earth is. And look how stable the mountains are. Allah had offered this trust before it was offered to you. He offered it to the heavens, to the earth and the mountains. But it was too heavy to carry. So Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to the human being. Allah Azza wa Jal gave it to this human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave and passed this responsibility to us. So engage yourself in some of the da'wah activities that will keep yourself busy. That will keep yourself engaged in the da'wah. And remember, my brothers and sisters, when you preach to others about Islam, the reflection of that preaching will come back to you. Will always come back to you, because the believer is like a light, a lamp that spreads his light to everyone. He'll benefit and everyone else will benefit. So engage yourself in the da'wah. Engage yourself in the activities that your society has. Engage yourself in the da'wah. And that's for both brothers and sisters. Both brothers and sisters should involve themselves in the da'wah. And this is not neglecting the side, the other part of this community, which is the sisters, in which they also have a great responsibility in this deen. And lastly, my brothers and sisters, I do advise you to take care of your time. Take care of this time that's so cheap to us. this time that we think this time means nothing to us, especially being young, and we have a lot of time ahead of us, this time becomes so priceless, this time becomes so cheap to us, that we think we've got all the time in this dunya. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, نَعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ بِهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ الصَّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ. Two bounties of the bounties of Allah, all mankind are cheated and deceived by. Saha, your health, and your faragh, your time. This time, my brothers and sisters, by Allah, this second that we waste in this dunya, this minute that means nothing to us in this dunya, this hour that we neglect by watching movies or committing the haram, in the hereafter, 1 second means the whole world and what's in it to us. When you stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you are judged by Allah Almighty, the only thing that you wish for, not money, not anything of this dunya, but you wish, Ya Allah, give me this opportunity to come back into this world and worship you 1 minute. Give me this opportunity to come back into this world and pray to you 1 minute. So time, my brothers and sisters, utilize your time. Take advantage of your time for what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned in the previous hadith, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس وفراغك قبل شغلك. Take advantage of your time, of your empty time, before you get occupied. Use that time for what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the motivational hadith that always motivates me when I think of what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about a man who will stand in front of Allah in the hereafter. And Allah Azza wa Jal will judge this man. And after Allah judges this man will be casted in the hellfire. But before he's casted in the hellfire, listen to what Allah will say to this servant. Listen to what Allah will say to this man. Allah will say to him, oh my servant, if you had this whole world full of gold, would you give it to me in return that I'll save you from the hellfire? So what do you think the response and the answer of the servant of Allah will be? Of course, yes. And you'll say, yes, Ya Allah, I'll give you and give you even more. So Allah Azza wa Jal will respond back to this servant of his and he'll say, Kadhabt, you're a liar. I asked you for something smaller and you didn't give it to me. I asked you for something smaller and you didn't give it to me. I asked you to pray to me 5 times a day and you didn't. I asked you to fast and you didn't. I asked you to pay your zakat and you didn't. And I asked you to keep away from the haram and you didn't. And I asked you to follow my orders and you didn't. And now if you had this whole world full of gold, oh, you'll give it to me in return to save you from the hellfire. Allah will tell him, you're a liar. Kadhabta, you're a liar. And he'll be dragged into the hellfire. My brothers and sisters in Islam, take advantage of this time. Take advantage of your life. Take advantage of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you. And take advantage of what you have right now, that later on you'll feel regret and sorry and wasting it. And be proud of this deen, my brothers and sisters. Be proud that you're a Muslim and be proud of Islam. Be proud that you're a Muslim and be proud of Islam. And don't let any wave that will come from the east or the west or north or south, any wave that will come or that will come on us or pressure to make us turn away from this deen. Be strong, my brothers and sisters, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who stand by this deen. And Allah Azza wa Jal will protect those who protect this deen. And Allah Azza wa Jal is with those who stand by this deen. So my brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this advice is taken from the heart to the heart. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from those who listen and hear and act upon what they listen and hear. May Allah reward you all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use you all for the best of benefit for this ummah and what benefits the Muslim community and society. Jazakum Allah khair. Once again, I'm happy and privileged and honored to stand before you. May Allah reward you all for coming. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.